Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it. We will start with the Cowboys. They clinched the NFC East yesterday with a win at home against the Bucks. The story of the game was the Dallas defense. Jalen Smith returned a fumble for a touchdown in the first quarter, and Randy Gregory recovered a fumble in the third quarter to set up another Dallas touchdown. The Cowboys' offense wasn't great, but Dak threw a touchdown pass and ran for another. He's headed to the playoffs for the second time in 3 years. Let's take a listen to Dak after the win.
We knew it all along. You're probably the only ones in this room that counted us out. At 1-2, at 3-3, at 3-5, we knew exactly what we had. We knew the team that we had. And we still know that. As I said before, there's a lot of work to be done. And we're happy for tonight. We're going to celebrate it the right way, but then get right back to work.
Okay, Shannon, how impressive were the Cowboys yesterday?
Yes, they weren't very impressive, Skip Bayless. And you know they weren't very impressive. So
my
stop.
Turn?
No, it's not your turn. Mm-mm. Your name ain't Shannon.
You asked me a question.
Well, I don't answer. Yeah. Look, they were not very impressive. Look, you have to be excited you won the game. You have to also be excited that you clinched the division. So now you get to go into week 17. Do we rest Zeke? Zeke has 381 touches.
We rest.
Do you rest Tyron Smith or Zach Martin?
Yes, we do.
You get the opportunity, Skip, to give some guys some rest maybe that you probably wouldn't had you not won this game. So you have to be pleased with that.
Thank you.
Skip, offensively, you can't be pleased with the way you perform because you had two drives that you were able to sustain. You got a touchdown on the opening drive. Mm-hmm. But after that, Skip, you really didn't do a whole lot. Scooping score by Jalen Smith, a recovery at the two-yard line by Randy Gregory.
Yep.
Outside of that, you also got another field goal in which you drove the football.
Okay.
So you can't be pleased with what you saw offensively. And unfortunately, your defense was unbelievable. They've been very good all year long. But the way this thing works, you don't get to take one phase of your team to the playoffs. You don't get to say, defense, we're going, offense, special teams, you stay at home. You have to go as a team. And right now, Skip, your offense isn't playing very well, considering Tampa isn't very good defensively. They're the 27th passing attack. Mm-hmm. And Dak threw for 161 yards. Mm-hmm. Skip. 100 and – yeah, don't look at it. 161 with a touchdown. Mm. Oh, he did have, you know, 20 completions, 25 attempts.
Interesting.
Dinking and dacking again.
Did he?
Dinking and dacking ain't nothing and happening.
What was his QBR yesterday? I was just curious. Did your researcher look it up? I don't know. I'm just asking a question. It was 87, which was really high for Dak this year. Go ahead.
Considering that's the 27th pass defense, and your quarterback only threw for 161 yards. Now, granted, they can't rush the passer. They don't generate a whole lot of pressure on the quarterback, and that's all you can muster. And when you didn't have Zeke didn't have a ton of carries. He only had 18 carries, 85 yards. Mm-hmm. So what was the reason the passing game wasn't more effective? That's what I need to know. Why wasn't it more effective? That's Skip, and again, this is the second fewest yards you've had in the game since opening day against Carolina. 232. You have proud of that, Skip?
Is it my turn? No. I can answer that.
The Dallas Cowboys really, Skip, had, as I mentioned earlier, two real scoring drives. Opening drive, they got a touchdown. They had 16 first downs, Jenny. They got six of those on the first drive. So after the first drive, they got 10 total first downs the rest of the game.
Tell me when it's my
turn. It's not your turn, Skip Bayless. Dallas offense benefited from their defense playing unbelievable. Jalen Smith has been unbelievable. They put pressure. They harassed Jameis the entire game. He got some yards. I mean, you go look at his numbers. He's like, man, Jameis played good. Mm-hmm. Not when they needed him to play good when the game was close. Mm-hmm. When they got up by 14 and the Cowboys were playing off, they were going to concede a lot of catches and a lot of throws. But other than that, I don't think that he put them in harm's way one bit. So you're excited you won the ball game. Dallas, you're excited you won the ball game. You won the division. But going into the playoffs with this offense playing like this, nah, bro, you can't be overly excited.
So, Jenny, once again, I got to get a new television because I saw a very different game than Mr. Sharp saw, but he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I am not, so I'm going to have to defer to him.
Okay, do that.
But I'm going to have to actually take exception to much of what he said. I don't know why, but it's just me. I've had too much dew this morning because I am swimming in Diet Mountain Dew. In fact, I was thinking last night, maybe I should buy a place on LeBron's block over in Brentwood and I can have a swimming pool full of Diet Dew.
You got
Olympic-sized pool, and I could be LeBron's neighbor thanks to you.
You got a pool. You got a pool in your neighborhood.
I do not. In my complex.
Yes, you do.
So I'm going to restate what I've been telling you all year very long.
What?
This is the weirdest and most frustrating Dallas Cowboy team or any team that I ever have ever attempted to root for a whole season. It has worn me out, and I will be the first to admit to you, it wore me out yesterday because it will do some great things, some, dare I say, Super Bowl here we come things, and then it will do some scary bad things, dare I say, first round playoff exit things, all in the same game. Mm-hmm. And yet, this Dallas Cowboy team just won 6 out of 7 games to win the NFC East. You said they would not win. And they won me 6 more cases of Diet Mountain Dew. And I will be forever grateful to this team for winning me now a grand total of 17 cases of Diet Mountain Dew. Thank you very much.
You get it back in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see about that. That's a lot of dew to get back. And I'm not going to just give it right back to you on one game. But I'll be the first to admit, this team won 6 games of the last 7. Guess what the points were? They won by 7 at Philadelphia. They won by 3 at Atlanta. They won by 8 at home on Thanksgiving against Washington. By 3, as we know, against New Orleans. Against Philly at home by 6. And then yesterday by 7 over lowly Tampa Bay. So that's not all that impressive, is it? Right?
No.
Okay. By comparison, New Orleans just clinched home field throughout the playoffs. They are plus 170 points for the year, which leads the NFL, plus 170. That's how much they've outscored their opponents. Dallas has outscored its opponents this year plus 14 points. And that includes a bizarrely inexplicable home win over Jacksonville that was 40-7 Dallas. That includes that to get them to plus 14.
So without that game, they're negative. They've been outscored.
That is correct. So you just made a strong case that their glass is half empty. I see their glass as 2/3 full because I'm going to say it again. I love my team. I love my quarterback. I love my running back. And I like my defense, though at times yesterday I did not like them. And you said they were amazing yesterday, and I thought just the opposite. They were mostly horrifying to me yesterday because they let Jameis Winston pull off 7 drives that averaged 10 plays per drive. Think about that. In 10 plays, he averaged 10 plays a drive, and that included drives of 17 and 14 plays against a defense that is now 26th in the NFL and allowing third down conversions. So you say, what about the offense? Tampa Bay ran 75 plays to Dallas's 50. Tampa had it 35 minutes to Dallas's 25 minutes. That's outrageously wrong for a team that just 2 games ago went into the Indy game leading the NFL in time of possession on offense.
Well, Skip, that's skewed because Jalen Smith got a scoop and score, okay. So Dallas offense never touched the field.
But I'm just saying, were they able to stop Jameis consistently? They were not.
But no,
he
drove it. Did he get points?
He got 20 points. And this defense is still 4th in the league in points allowed. So I will hang my helmet on that one. I'll go into the playoff game hoping that they rise and shine the way they did against Drew Brees because the last 2 weeks, I haven't been that impressed. Let's do 3 weeks. I'll go back 3 weeks because I wasn't impressed in the fourth quarter against Carson Wentz. And then I definitely wasn't impressed 23-0 at Andrew Luck. And then yesterday, Jameis just drove it and drove it and drove it, and he got stopped short, obviously, on the one scramble.
But guess what, Skip? Guess who didn't drive it against a poor defense?
Thank you for bringing that up.
Dak Prescott.
By the way, thank you also for mentioning Jalen Smith, who should have been a Pro Bowler even over Vander Esch. That was a spectacular burst. They should try him at running back. Some of his brother plays running back.
No.
Hey, was that not a 4.4 40 that he ran up the sideline?
He can run.
Can he not fly?
But here's the thing, though, Skip, again, remember now, if you put somebody on the Pro Bowl, you got to take somebody off.
Yeah,
are you taking Bobby Wagner or Luke Kuechly off the Pro Bowl?
I don't know. I don't even know how to do it. I just he played Pro Bowl caliber football to me this whole year.
Yes, he did.
He was the driving force of that defense the whole year long. And I love Van Der Esch led them in tackles. Yes. And he had a big game yesterday. He had 15 more tackles yesterday to Jalen Smith's 10. But Jalen Smith made the plays at the moment.
Yes.
Just electrifying.
It just seems to me that Jalen Smith make more impact plays. He's in the backfield.
Right.
He's playing downfield.
Right.
He's getting those high collision plays that the ball's coming out.
No disrespect to the tackling Dutchman or the wolf hunter, as he's called. Oh, oh, oh. And he was doing some of that
yesterday. I want to know what they're going to do with Sean Lee. You know, they don't even miss Sean.
You know what? It was the first time I tweeted this right before the game. I was actually very happy that he couldn't go yesterday because he's become a jinx. He tried to go in Indy, and what happened, right?
Oh, so you blame that on Sean Lee.
I flipped it completely around. I used to, they can't win without him. Now they can't win with him.
The other way.
Right?
You blaming Sean
Well,
Lee?
They found a new way, and it's a new day in Dallas, and I'm sorry, but, again, I wasn't sure yesterday if his hamstring was balky or if Jerry finally said, maybe we ever just sit him down, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So I do not love the fact that on offense, the new connection, the Dak to Amari connection, it has gone awry. It has disappeared because at Indy, he caught 4 balls for 36 yards, and yesterday he caught 4 balls for 20 yards and only 5 targets. So clearly, defenses are saying, you can't have him. You can have Cole Beasley all you want. You can throw it to Michael Gallup all you want, but you can't have Amari. And it scares me because I agreed with the analysis yesterday from Troy Aikman that, hey, it doesn't matter if he's doubled. You just throw it to him because he's Amari Cooper. Right. And especially if you think you have single on him, you're going to force the ball. Even if the play isn't called to him, just throw
it to him. Here's the thing, though, Skip. Look, when you have a number one guy, you don't think they double Michael Thomas?
Oh, come on.
Julio, all these top
receivers.
Look at Antonio Brown. Half the game yesterday he was doubled, and he still went got 14
for a buck. If I may go to the highest, you don't think Jerry Rice was doubled every play of his career?
Yes.
Like every play.
That's what sets the great ones apart.
Okay, so now back to my quarterback. All I know is Dak Prescott keeps making crucial plays. You probably think they're little plays. I think they're little, huge plays. And he makes them every game that they win. When they got goose egg 23-0, he couldn't make the play to get them in the end zone, even though he drove it in the first half, as you know, 10 plays, 14 plays, 15 plays. Yesterday was not that kind of game. But I'm going to go back to the first drive yesterday after Tampa Bay had scored quickly to go up 3-0. It looked like they're going to drive it all the way home for 7-0. What happened on 3rd and 12 from the 34? Could we see this throw? This is a huge throw in the game. This is big time. This is Dak Prescott at his best. That's a rifle shot to Michael Gallup. Did it not hit him right? And again, it looks like it's probably cover two, but he's just double. He's got two defenders in his area code, right?
Yep.
And what a throw that is. And it got them at, that's 3rd and 12 from your 34. And if you don't convert that, which I was dubious about them converting, all of a sudden Tampa's got it back with a chance to go in for 10-0, right?
Correct.
Which they probably would have. So now let's go down to, then what happened at the end of that drive? Dak, they finally called the read option and he kept it and scored. And that was a red zone touchdown, which I hadn't seen in forever. He took it in with his legs. What did I keep telling you? He has to run the football. He should have run it more than he did in this game, but that's hard to stop to me.
Right. Because
he's a big man who's a really crafty ball handler, and he has nice acceleration for 240 pounds or whatever he is. So now let's go to the other red zone play. Was this not a nice fade throw to Michael Gallup? If we could go we're going down to later in the game. This made it 27-13. That's a huge throw in the game because I wasn't sure they could get in the end zone. Great idea, great throw, great execution, nice catch. Mm-hmm. That was huge in the game because that basically won the game with that throw.
Yes.
Now let me go to the last throw. This is a huge throw in the football game. They are in jail. They are backed up against their goal line. They got 3rd and 10 from the 2-yard line, and he finds little Cole Beasley for 13 yards. And I always say,
Give it up 27-13.
Hey, you don't think you got to eat clock there? You don't think Jameis is going to get back in the game? Because that's 6:34 left in the game.
Jameis had up until that point.
That just ate 2 more minutes of clock that were crucial in the end. Did it not get a little tight in the end?
But here's the thing.
Did they not onside?
They did.
Yes.
But let me ask you this. Jameis, you saw Jameis for 3.5 quarters, mm-hmm. and he had really done nothing. What made you convinced that if they'd got the ball with 6 minutes back, he was going to do something in that
He'd season? Really done nothing?
No.
Are you kidding me? He threw for 336 yards.
You see?
I mean, look, they just dominated the football. They had
the
whole game.
Basically the entirety of the whole game.
Okay, but they look at the yardage in the game. They had 383 to 282.
But see, this is why you just can't look at stats and you need to watch the game. Because if you watch the game, if you ever think Dallas was in any jeopardy, playing the Bucs, you're sadly mistaken.
Boy, I saw a different game. Looking at it very upside down from you. I thought they were in jeopardy the whole game.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Jameis had the number one receiver in yards per catch in the league coming in Deshaun, who had some foot issue for a while, came back in. And he had the number two receiver in yards per catch in the league in Mike Evans. Did Mike Evans not do a lot of damage yesterday?
Yeah, but it was late in the ball game. Okay. Skill.
Well, to me, that third down throw, when Dak Prescott really needs to pull off a throw and he steps into it, he makes his choice early and steps into the throw, he makes big clutch delivery throws where he throws it right on time and right on target. That I'm sorry. To me, that was thank you God play.
So what are you gonna do about the interception? Mm-hmm. What about the throw behind Blake Jarwin when he had him wide open on the crossing route?
Okay. I just showed you the key plays he made to make sure they won that game 27-20. He made those key plays. Love my quarterback. I'll take my quarterback.
I get it. But let me ask you a question. What team that you could possibly place in the playoffs are the equivalent of the Bucs?
Well, obviously, no team except
exactly.
except Jameis can throw the heck out of it now.
So, can he throw the ball better?
And has he not been hot for the last 4 games?
Okay, how about
yes,
this?
He has.
Okay. Can he throw the ball as good as Russell Wilson or Jared Goff or Drew Brees? Because that's what you're going to face, Skip.
I'm glad you brought up Seattle. We saw Seattle put on a show last night against your MVP, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
As I predicted they would, they won at home. And now they have to go on the road, and very likely they're going to go on the road to Dallas for the first game. If they beat Arizona this next Sunday, they're coming to Dallas.
Haven't they already beat you guys?
They beat us at Seattle. Oh. And, Jenny, what did they call it at Michigan this year? The Revenge Tour? What was the basis? What was the foundation of winning 6 of 7? What was the foundation of winning 5 straight games for the Dallas Cowboys? Revenge, 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 revenge. And here they come again. This is perfect. This is the perfect opponent for Dallas.
But that
if
was
it's
last
Seattle.
Year, though.
Okay. What was last year?
The Revenge Tour. So you getting back at the team that beat
this
you
year,
last year.
This year. The 5 in a row that they won,
right.
Those were all revenge games.
Oh. What so you're going to make this a revenge game.
Okay. It shapes up perfectly as a revenge game because what happened 1 year ago on Christmas Eve? What happened at Jerry World? Russell Wilson beat
the brakes off y'all.
And guess whose fault it was? It was the Dez drop game.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember that? It was the Dez drop game.
Don't do that.
Is Dez Bryant still a Dallas Cowboy?
Oh,
he is not a Dallas Cowboy.
The man rehabbing
so all of a sudden,
you
have a chance to get even for what Russell did to you. Last year, it was
21-12. And he did it again this year.
Remember, they had it 1st and goal at the 3 late in that game to cut the lead. And Dak tried to run for a yard. And then there was a hold that put him back on Jason Witten. Remember this? Then Dak got sacked, and they wind up with a field goal that Dan Bailey missed. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was a horrendous series. You can wipe the slate clean. You can get even for that. You can get even for the game that was 24-13 this year. Early it was week 3 at Seattle.
Yeah.
And Zeke had a bad game that game. Remember? He dropped
Seattle's
the pass.
Better.
Huh?
Seattle's better.
I don't think they are.
You don't think they're a better team than week 3?
Oh, Seattle's better than week 3. I thought you meant they're better in Dallas. I don't think they're better in Dallas. I'll take my team at home. I like my team at home.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect matchup.
You liked them against Tennessee.
I did not.
You didn't like them against Tennessee? You picked them?
I mean, I picked them, but I didn't love the game.
Okay. Well,
there's no history between those two teams, right? There's no revenge factor, right?
You know what?
I got this. I like this. It shapes up perfectly. And then, to Jerry Jones' point after the game yesterday, this is just the kind of team that can play defense and run the football that can be very dangerous and catch fire in the playoffs.
Man, Jerry need to stop. Now, just last week, he pulled the alarm because he concerned for his offense and defense because they scored no points. Now, 2 weeks, 3 weeks earlier, he said we're different cats after we beat New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So he rides the wave
of whatever's happening. My team wins, or we can win the Super Bowl. My team lose, we don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Jerry, come on, bruh.
Mm.
And well, you fall right along into that trap.
Did I say I love my owner when I started off today? I did not. Did I say I love my head coach? I didn't say that. Are they winning in spite of those two?
No,
I could say they are. Yes, they are.
Give Jerry credit.
You should be starting to sweat even more because here comes Seattle, the perfect opponent at home for Dallas, which is why I'm rooting for Seattle to win that game. Don't blow that game to Arizona.
All I'm saying is this is what I'm saying, Skip Bayless. The Dallas Cowboys are like the Duke freshmen. Mm-hmm. They won and done.
Mm.
Yeah, they won and done, bro.
Well, guess who was the star of the game at Seattle this year? Who made the two big interceptions, came out of nowhere to make both of them on Dak Prescott on tip balls?
Earl
Thomas.
Yeah.
He is no longer Seahawk. Am I right?
Yeah. No.
I think that's advantage Dallas because Earl wanted to get even with the team that did not work hard enough to trade
that.
For
Russell
him,
Wilson
right?
Playing at an MVP level.
Well, he is. You're going to
make Russell
the case.
Wilson playing like that. Wish he could play.
So, are you admitting that Russell Wilson outplayed your MVP, Patrick Mahomes,
don't do
last
that, Skip.
Night?
Skip, don't do that. Skip, why do you do that?
You know, all I'm doing is I really like this football team going into the playoffs because then it's do or die. It wasn't do or die at Indy. They had a two-game lead, and they thought Philly would lose.
It wasn't do or die yesterday, but they won.
Well, it was. I think they thought that they didn't want to have to go to New York.
But you told me you wanted them.
I did.
You picked Tampa to win the game.
I did.
Okay.
You said
you wanted Dallas.
I also said I did it as a public service.
Okay.
I wanted some fear factor.
Yeah, okay. But you also said you wanted Dallas to go to New York with the to win.
I would have liked that because it would have been a springboard in the playoffs. Now you have to go up there and do a half and half game. A Dak will probably play a half.
He didn't play the whole game.
Well, you could. I don't disagree with you. Maybe he and Amari and Cole and all of them, that maybe they need to play 7-on-7 the whole
game. He had eight turnovers rookie year, 16 the next year. He got 14 right now.
Mm.
So a guy that you told me took very care of the football is starting to turn it over at an alarming rate, Skip.
How many times did he turn it over yesterday?
One.
Huh.
One more than he should.
Huh. Interesting. I don't remember that.
You do remember it.
Yep. So.
Don't do that, Skip. Skip, why would you do that?
Hmm.
You talking about you don't remember it.
I just don't remember
the turnover.
Selective memory. I thought he was really good yesterday.
You thought so?
Yep, I did. So did QBR. QBR really liked
him. Stop it, Skip Bayless, with that QBR.
87.
Because by that metric, Jameis Winston is the third or fourth best quarterback in football, and we know that not to be the case.
Well, I know over the last 5 weeks, he's been he still has the fifth best QBR.
Even if you go over the last 5 weeks, they're not in the playoffs, but unfortunately, the game is NFL season 16 weeks. So, and he hadn't been very good. He's been benched twice for ineffective play.
Help me out. Who won the NFC East this year?
I want to remind
him. I don't know.
Oh, it was the Dallas Mountain Dews.
Jenny, it's not my turn to talk.
No,
so
they are locked in.
The Dallas Dews did it again.
It's not my turn to talk. Are you asking me a question?
Yeah.
No mercy.
The Seahawks beat the Chiefs last night to clinch a wild card berth. Patrick Mahomes threw 3 touchdown passes, but he lost his 4th straight game in primetime. Mahomes entered the weekend as the MVP favorite, and Kansas City still controls their own destiny for the top seed in the AFC. Shannon.
Yes.
Is Homeboy still your MVP?
Absolutely.
It's just, absolutely?
Absolutely, Skip Bayless.
I got to get a new TV.
Yeah, you don't need to get a new TV, yeah. Hopefully that way you don't have to watch Kansas City's defense play. Skip, he's 16 more touchdowns, 800 more yards. I mean, he's 48-11. KC's defense is terrible, Skip. They're 31st in pass defense. They're 29th in scoring defense, 28th in rushing defense. And New Orleans has a top 10 scoring defense.
Mm-hmm.
Let this sink in. Patrick Mahomes in his 4 losses is averaging 37.5 points. 336 yards. He's thrown 15 touchdowns with 5 interceptions. The defense is giving up 40 points in those 4 losses. Let that sink in for a second, Skip Bayless. Think about that. You're scoring 37.5 points, 336. You're throwing about 4 touchdowns a game. But your defense is giving up 40 points a game. That's terrible, Skip. Looking at the Saints, Skip, what are the Saints? Are they a passing team? They're 11th in passing. They're 11th in rushing. The tandem of Kamara and Mark Ingram leads the might be the best tandem of running backs in football. So it's just hard for me to believe that a guy that's thrown for 48 and 11 Drew Brees is what, 30, he's 60, so 32-5. Skip, I get it. It'll be a great night. I mean, Drew Brees has never won the MVP. If he doesn't win it this year, he's never, that's not how the MVP is supposed to work. This is not a lifetime achievement award. This is not a career accomplishment. This season, statistically, we've never, I feel very comfortable in saying he's going to get 50, he's going to get two touchdowns against the Raiders. He'll throw for 170 plus yards and be 50, and so 50 touchdowns, 5,000 passing yards. The only other two guys have done that, Peyton Manning, MVP, Tom Brady, MVP. It's just, no, Tom did not throw for the year that he got 50 touchdowns, he didn't throw for 5,000 yards. But to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in a single season, Skip, that means something. And I think he's had the better year. He can't do anything about his defense. I mean, last night, Skip, look at that. They go right down the field. He goes down the field against Kansas City, ties the ball game. What do they do? Seven plays, 6 yards, poof, Tom Brady in the end zone, win the game. That's unacceptable. Pat Mahomes, boy, should win the MVP, and it shouldn't be close.
So you asked me to let that sink in, so I'm letting it sink and sink, and I think Patrick Mahomes is sunk in the MVP race. That's what I think. Drew Brees just won the MVP with a big stage performance in what became the game of their year this year at home. And he did so with a closing touchdown drive to win the game over Ben Roethlisberger, playing one of the greatest games of his career. It was a classic shootout, and Drew Brees won the shootout. And he has edged slightly ahead of Patrick Mahomes in QBR. They're both at 81.9, but just by decimal points, Drew Brees is slightly ahead. And by the way, he's 32 touchdowns to only 5 interceptions versus 11 for Patrick Mahomes, and those 5 are tied for second fewest in the league.
What are we going to do about those extra 16 touchdowns? Are we going to do anything about those?
What are we going to do about 13-2 and home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs? What are we going to do about odds-on favorite to win it all, Drew Brees' team?
What?
Kind of came from nowhere. Okay. Nobody probably saw that coming, except we did pick them to win the NFC.
But here's the thing. Do you? Let me ask you a question. Do you think the Raiders are going to beat Kansas City in Kansas City on Sunday?
Do I?
Do you believe that?
No.
So they'll have home field advantage.
Too. No, but not with that kind of record. By the way, the Kansas City Chiefs have now lost 3 of their last 5, and they were in danger of losing at Oakland, and they barely pulled that out 40-33, and they were really in danger of losing to Lamar Jackson down 24-17 when Patrick Mahomes ran to the sidelines, closed his eyes, and flung it across his chest back into the middle of the field.
So that was a signature moment. Huh?
It was an Eli Manning Super Bowl moment to David Tyree, and it would have been fitting if it had stuck in Tyreek's face mask. Remember Tyree and Tyreek? Right?
Stop it,
Skip. Tyrese, right?
Stop it.
There you go. So let's look at what Patrick Mahomes has now done in his big stage, solo stage night games.
Tell me about it.
Sunday night at New England. Who won that game? Not Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, whoa. Can you tell the people at home what his defense gave up? How many points did he give up?
I don't know.
You know.
He lost.
Okay, they gave up 43 points. Go ahead.
Okay. Then Monday night at the Los Angeles Rams, Patrick Mahomes was horrendous in that game with 5 turnovers. 5 turnovers?
478, 6 tubs.
Yeah. He gave up a strip sack, scoop and score.
So,
right?
54.
Wow.
54 points. Okay, go ahead.
Now, that was a Monday night. Now we go to Thursday night at home against the L.A. Chargers. You can't spit the bit in that game, can you? Yes, he did. He lost that one to Phillip Rivers. No good.
And what did the defense give up?
Well, I don't know. I'm just talking about Patrick Mahomes.
A game-ending touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Yeah,
Tom Brady doesn't lose those games.
Whoa. Hold on. Skip. Hold on. Time out. Now, you told me Coach Belichick lost his fastball because Coach Belichick gave up 43 to Philly in the Super Bowl. He threw for 505. And you told me that Tom Brady, that Coach Belichick should be ashamed of himself.
Should have been fired.
Hold on.
Did you see what Malcolm Butler did Saturday night? Did you see what he did Saturday night to end the Washington game?
The game was already over.
Did you see? He picked 6. Yeah,
think about this.
Malcolm Butler lives.
Yeah.
He's playing for Tennessee.
Pat Mahomes' defensive game up 43 and 54. And you expect him to win, but not Tom Brady.
I got to ask you, Shane. Okay, this is a problem. So he plays on Sunday night, L. Monday night, L. Thursday night, L. Sunday night again, L. Those are bad looks for the quote-unquote MVP case that Shannon Sharpe is trying to make. I can't roll with it.
Let me ask
you
a question, Skip. Yeah. This is what I'm going to do for you, Skip. I'm going to say every fourth game, I'm going to let you're going to have, at the end of those 4 games, you'll have 15 touchdowns with five picks, averaged 336. Mm-hmm. How many times, if you end with a 12-4 record, mm-hmm. how many times do you think you'd win the MVP?
I don't know, but Drew Brees obviously made more plays than Patrick Mahomes.
So if somebody threw for 60 touchdowns with 20 interceptions, and they finished with 12-4, do you believe they would win the MVP? Because that's what Pat Mahomes.
Mm.
Think about that, Skip Bayless.
You know, here we go again. This is the Aaron Rodgers syndrome because you like beauty pageants. If we're going, who's going to win the beauty pageant? I'll give you Mahomes. He's got the highlight plays. He's got the trending plays. He's got the no looks.
Skip, you make it seem like he's going to miss the playoffs.
He threw one yesterday. I'm running left, and I'm going to lean sideways and throw. I'm going to flip it sidearm.
If you don't mind me asking.
Okay,
way
to go.
If you don't mind me asking.
Drew Brees doesn't do that. He just completes them on time.
How many games did Tom Brady lose last year and won the MVP?
I don't know. I don't really care. He's not in this discussion right
now. And why is he not in this discussion?
Well,
thank you very much. I just wanted you to
open it up. He is the two seed. Maybe he should be.
I just wanted to hear you say that. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted to hear you do, Skip. No, nothing. No further questions, Your Honor. Yeah. But you know my homeboy, Skip. Come on, Skip. The man is 40.
You know what's going to happen. It's just like, here we go again with the Heisman Trophy.
Lifetime
achievement award. You want to end it. You want to end it early, premature. And all of a sudden, Kyler Murray keeps doing that and that and that. And Drew Brees did that yesterday. That ended it because narrative does operate. And the narrative is that on January 15th, not very far from now, not very long from now, Drew Brees is going to turn 40 years of age.
Yes. Yeah.
And it is somewhat of a career achievement because he's never won one of these. And he's obviously a first ballot Hall of Fame.
Should he have?
No, but this one he should win.
Okay.
I mean,
you make it seem like he was slighted. You make it seem like it was Denzel in Training Day or Denzel in Hurricane when Son of a Woman won or American Beauty. It wasn't one of those situations, Skip Bayless.
God, I love Training Day.
So good.
I'd watch it tonight.
He won for that.
I know.
But he didn't win for Hurricane. No, he didn't win for Malcolm X. He should have won for Malcolm X, too. But that's not here today. Drew Brees
is going to win this.
No, he's not. My homeboy.
No. I'm sorry. You hung on too long. It's okay. It's okay.
Think about this, Skip. He's 16 clear. Mm-hmm. 800 yards.
He's got a long career. He'll win his
MVP. Oh, you see what I'm saying, Jenny?
He does have a long career.
Skip, that's not how it's supposed to work.
Okay.
You know that.
He does lead the league in highlight plays, though. I give you that.
I mean, dropping on my arm angles like that. What are you supposed to do with his defense, Skip? His defense, you see that? Did you see what his defense doing?
Boy, his defense can rush the passer, though, can't they?
Really?
Yeah.
Really, Skip?
Yeah.
Bayless?
Well, they got after.
How you rush the passer so good and give up 40 points in those losses?
I don't know.
I know. Did you see that back end?
Yeah.
That secondary is terrible.
Drew Brees' defense gave up 429 yards at home yesterday. You like that?
Hold on.
I don't like that.
How many yards you said Drew Brees' defense gave up?
429.
Hold on.
See, I got you on that.
No,
one
you don't. Know. No, you don't.
I got you on that.
Oh, no, you don't got
that.
Hold up. 429.
Yeah, 429.
Oh, what you call Pat Mahomes' defense gave up 464. What am I supposed to do with that? How many points did they give up?
I forget what the score was.
Their defense gave up 38. Drew Brees' defense gave up how many, Skip?
I forget 28.
Now, which is more? Now, Jen, I wasn't good at math. Because once I couldn't use scratch paper or count on my fingers, the numbers did me no good. So is 38 more than 28?
It is.
Now, you told me that Skip Bayless, now he banged on his desk and said he called for Coach Belichick's job after he won five Super Bowl because he gave up 43 points.
Yep.
Well, Patrick Mahomes' defense is averaging giving up 40 in the losses.
So, Pro Football Focus gives Drew Brees the highest passer grade in the league this year and gives Drew Brees the highest offensive overall grade this year. I don't know. What am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah. How?
It's better, more efficient.
Did we see that 13 points he put up? Did we see the 10 points he put up against Dallas?
Shannon,
or what about the 12 that he put up against Carolina?
Every time the voters got to see this kid on the biggest stage, the solo stage at night, they're saying,
the prime
really?
Time.
That all
they're saying his defense is terrible.
Not ready for prime
time? His defense is terrible.
It's a good point.
Pat Mahomes has yet to score less than 26 points. Think about that, Skip Bayless. The man has yet to score less than 26. No
mercy. Sixers and Celtics played a thriller in Boston yesterday. Philly led by as many as seven in the fourth quarter. But then Kyrie Irving took over. He hit the game-tying shot late in the fourth and two huge threes in overtime. And the Celtics got the win. He finished with 40 points. So, Skip, what did yesterday tell you about Kyrie?
Did you see that, LaShannon?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. So, My man Kyrie reminded the world once again that inch for inch, he is the best clutch closer in all of basketball. And I know the GMs in the offseason survey voted runaway. Mm. Kevin Durant, the guy they wanted with the ball in his hands to take the last second shot. Mm-hmm. That's in large part because Kevin is about 7 feet tall with like 8 foot wingspan, and he can shoot threes from 30 feet, right?
And he can shoot over anybody.
He can shoot over anybody. So Kyrie, at 6'3" tall, did remind us once again that he's the opposite of LeBron James.
Oh, my goodness.
His ex-teammate. Because the bigger the stage, the bigger the moment, the clutcher he gets. And again, do I need to remind everybody about Christmas Day of 2 years ago? If we could remind everyone how that looked 2 years ago. Oh, that's the one over Jimmy. Here it is. This is in Cleveland over Klay Thompson. Klay's all over him. Ball game. Remember that?
Yeah.
I think you won something from me that day, didn't you? Or maybe Rob Parker won.
I don't mind me asking, who iced the game from the free throw line?
I don't remember that
you
at all.
You do, Skip!
That was the shot right there. That ended the game.
So the free throw line. You know what, Skip?
Can we go back to the finals game 7 of 2016 when the teams are just trading misses down the stretch?
Yeah.
Finally, Kyrie said, give me the ball and get out of my way and watch that. Game over.
Who iced the game from the free throw last game?
I don't remember anything about iced. The shot of shots was made by Kyrie back to back. And so yesterday, the Celtics need a basket with 20 seconds left to force overtime. So this is do or die for 6'3" Kyrie on guarded by 6'8" Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. So Kyrie had to dribble, and work. And finally, he created a little sliver of daylight, and he barely got the shot away, and it landed on the front of the rim just softly enough to creep over, and the game went to overtime. That's over 6'8" Jimmy Butler. And then in overtime, boom, 3-3, game over. That's Kyrie, because on those stages, he just is unbeatable when he gets in that kind of a flow on that kind of a stage. Because seriously, I don't think Philly could play a much better road game on a big stage than they played yesterday. And Embiid was tremendous. Mm-hmm. He was 34-16. I thought they all played very well. But down the stretch, it was just too much Kyrie. And I still say LeBron misses Kyrie. I think he's missed him this year because they've had 8 chances to close games with the Lakers, including Sunday night against Memphis. That was 91-all with like 8 minutes to go. You got to close it.
What about all those games that Boston was losing down the stretch? Yeah. Was Kyrie wasn't closing?
No, I think he's actually shooting 41% from three, and it took him a while to get his legs underneath him. Remember, this would have happened last year, but he tore his knee up.
But you remember they called a team meeting. Kyrie called a team meeting. Mm-hmm.
And so they've been really good since
then. Jenny, have you ever heard of someone calling a team meeting when teams are winning? I've never heard say, you know what, guys? We're going on a 10-game win streak. Or we won 15 straight. Let's have a team meeting to air some laundry.
They've had to switch the rotation up. And what did I tell you from the start? Oh. I'm not a Gordon Hayward fan. And they finally got him out of the starting lineup because he doesn't belong in it.
Yeah.
He's not better than Jason Tatum, really.
Here's the thing. Skip, he's special. But that's nothing new. We know what Kyrie Irving represents. He has the best handles that I've seen. I've been following the NBA for 40-plus years. Mm-hmm. He has the best handles I've ever seen. He can finish at the rim with either hand on either side of the basket. And once he gets it going, he got it going early. 16 in the first quarter, 23 in the first half. So he got it going early. And once he gets it going, it doesn't matter who's in front of him because he doesn't see them. All he sees is the basket. And once he sees is the basket, the ball's going in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do nothing with him once he gets it going like that. Because like he said, he can put anybody on skates. And so now, and he was giving an interview the other day, he says, I'm not worried about me getting my shot off or going one-on-one with someone. I can do that against anybody. The question is, how do I do that and also get my teammates involved?
Mm.
But Skip, look, he's special. Yeah, he can finish. He's hit big shots. But are we going to forget what LeBron James did in game 5, 6, and 7? Mm. He goes 41-41 triple-dub. Mm. They win. Mm. Are we going to forget last year?
I'm just talking about clutch closing. Okay, got to close the deal. Somebody's got to close for you.
Let me ask you a question. So what about that game winning against Toronto? Would that be considered closing?
Mm.
What about that game winning against Indy? I love how when he hit regular season shot, you like that means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a regular season shot. Mm-hmm. LeBron did that very shot over Jimmy Butler last year. With a triple-double. Mm-hmm. Remember, 17 assists with no turnovers. He did that. You like, oh, you poo-pooed it. Mm-hmm. Then he followed it up with two game winners in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and you poo-pooed it. Now you want to heap a bouquet of roses at Kyrie? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to minimize what Kyrie's done.
Trying to minimize what LeBron did last year, but again, he had a rookie on him as he dribbled full court, and then he shot it. He didn't mean to shoot it off the glass.
Yes, he did. Remember that? Yes, he did. He
tipped to, off the glass, he and he didn't mean to
yes,
tip
he did.
It off the glass.
Yes, he did, Skip. Don't
so
do that.
So every once in a while, what's that about the blind squirrel? He finds
it. Don't mean nothing. He ain't blind. Yeah. That squirrel can see.
Really?
Yeah.
The one I give you is the one he made over Jimmy Butler to win that game against the
Okay, what
T-Wolves.
About Indy?
Indy was, he goaltended. He goaltended.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, Skip, don't
and
do
the,
that.
The Pacers are all looking at each other like, you're not going to call that?
Well, hold on. But the last two-minute report also said that Thad Young stepped out of bounds.
Okay.
And so it should have been Cleveland's ball.
We're only talking about that sequence, and the Pacers are all looking around like, what just happened? He just goaltended Oladipo. And it should have been, that was it right there, right?
No, play on.
Yeah.
Play on.
Play on. And play so they're on. Looking around. And,
why you
and
looking around,
LeBron makes
the
shot.
The officials made a call.
And
they're
by
not
the
going to change it.
Don't make me start getting into LeBron's unclutchness statistically over his career because that was his 16th year, and he finally made that shot over Jimmy Butler, and I said, way to go.
He made a bunch of them.
But those are the ones that he's good at because he's got a safety net. You know, you can make those when the game's tied. You just make it.
Hold on.
Just make it. You know, if you miss, everybody's going to say, well, that's just LeBron. He knows he's going to get protected.
So what was the safety net with Kyrie? Because the game was tied. If you miss, you're like, oh, well.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
there was no safety net yesterday with 20 seconds left.
We talking about yesterday. You keep harking back to that final.
I thought this topic was about yesterday.
But why you talk about game 7 then?
Well.
You showed it.
Well, nobody could make a shot until he made that one.
And then you showed 2 years ago, Cribble.
Mm-hmm.
Why you do that?
It was a good one.
I'm talking about LeBron.
Yeah. Yeah.
LeBron went 41-41 triple-dub. Last year, 2 game winners. And he had a walk-off against Jimmy Butler in the regular season.
Yeah, I give you that one. That was really big.
So you're not going to give me the one that he had 40 points against Indy.
Mm.
You're not going to give me the one he had 38.
I mean, it was Indiana. Remember, what saved him against Indiana was Kevin Love because LeBron had one of his mysterious cramps.
Oh, my God.
Iron Man. How can Iron Man cramp? He always has weird cramps at weird moments. It's always in the fourth quarter with the game tight.
Well, if he didn't go in that.
I can't go. And he walked all the way to the locker room, and they said it was a cramp. I don't know what it was. And he stayed for 7 clock minutes all the way through the end of the third quarter and into the fourth. And what did Kevin Love do in his absence? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was big time. Kevin Love made 2 threes.
What about
when he came back? They were up what, 8?
What about that? What about those 38 points that he had to get them there? Without that 38, what is Kevin Love? Because Kevin Love had done nothing until that point. What was Kevin Love?
Well, he saved him.
What was
that?
Kevin
was
Love
the saving moment of last year.
So I just want to, just so I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah.
So LeBron James is the only great player that's not allowed to have teammates that do their job.
Well, he's the only great player who cramps like every big game. Remember the one game one at San Antonio?
Yeah, because they were playing in the hemisphere.
Oh, they were playing in the hemisphere.
Oh, you sure?
I'm sure.
Oh, so the new arena got air conditioned because I couldn't tell?
Yeah.
A brand new arena and the air conditioning going out.
Yeah.
Huh? Where did you do that at?
Huh.
What other building? In the last 10 years, name the other building that the AC gone out in the NBA Finals.
Mm. They, said the it was, they said it was the electrical
they
company's
say.
Fault.
Who is they?
Yeah.
So I'm going to put foots in they when I catch them.
Did any other player on the floor cramp? I forget. I think like 20 players played in
does
the fourth
any
quarter.
Other player
nobody else cramped except the greatest
named
player.
Named a player that's ever had the responsibility.
Well, I think it overwhelmed him. I think his shoulders buckled.
You know what, Skip? He cramped and still put up 30. He cramped at, what do you have, 34? And then he came back in game 2 and put foots in him.
He did, and then what happened?
They shot him off the court.
They shot him off the court.
They
lost in 5 games.
Hold on. The San Antonio
by
Spurs.
By a record margin.
The San Antonio Spurs.
He never recovered from his cramp.
Shot the Miami Heat. This wasn't the Spurs against LeBron, although you like to make it seem that way. And even though LeBron averaged 28-7-7.
Yeah, but what did LeBron do after that finals? He looked Dwayne and said, you're washed up.
Okay.
You can't help me enough. I'm out. I'm going back home.
Enough
and what did he do?
Cramping talk.
Kyrie won him a ring.
You know what, Skip?
Kyrie won him a ring.
We're sticking with LeBron, but he was actually pretty pissed off at Kevin Durant yesterday.
Did you say that word?
Yeah.
Jenny just said.
Come on, guys.
Oh, hood Jenny. You see Jenny with them Concords on in the hood.
Pissed off. I don't think that's that serious. No mercy. The Rockets beat the Thunder yesterday, led by James Harden's 41-point game. Houston has now won 7 of their last 8. Meanwhile, Russell Westbrook struggled. He finished with 6 turnovers, missed all 4 of his shots in the fourth quarter. Skip, how disappointing was that performance?
Jenny and Shannon, it was extremely disappointing because I watch a whole lot of Thunder games, and I got to tell you, over the last month or so, and I can't believe I'm saying this, they have been playing the best defense in all of the NBA. Mm-hmm. They can shut you down. And I thought they did a really nice job on the Rockets yesterday, even on James Harden, because it took him 35 shots to get to his 41 points.
True.
From three, they shot 31.8%. So they didn't, it wasn't like the Thunder got shot out of the gym from the three-point line. This game was up for grabs in the fourth quarter, back and forth, seesaw, roller coaster, and it was on a silver Christmas platter for Russell Westbrook to take it over and say, this is my game, because the Thunder had led much of the game. And as Jenny points out, he goes 0 for 4, and he also missed one of his 2 free throws. And he has become, and I can't believe I'm saying this, a liability shooting the basketball.
He's worse than Robertson shooting free throws now, Skip.
He's 61% from the free throw line. Now we're getting in Lonzo territory, too. And he's 25% from the three-point line. So what has happened? A kid who came out of UCLA, and I thought they stole him in the draft because he was not a shooter at UCLA. No. He never caught my eye at UCLA. He taught himself to shoot. Huh. He taught himself to shoot well enough. He led the league in scoring one year, 31 points a game. Now he's all the way down to 20 points a game. He's still averaging the triple-double. He's still 20, 11, and 10. I got to give you that. But the 20, I've always said that a triple-double shouldn't start until you get 20. To 20.
Yeah.
So at least he's barely averaging 20. Mm-hmm. But he's not averaging 31 because he's missing way too many shots. And when they needed him, he wasn't there. And a quick shout-out to our friend Austin Rivers, Doc's kid, because he just was acquired by Houston, and they threw him into a big hot stage on Christmas Day. You realize he played all 12 minutes of the fourth quarter for his new team, the Houston Rockets, and he made 2 huge threes,
big
turning point threes in that game. And Russell didn't make his shots. So, again, it's funny because Paul George has been outplaying Russell now for a couple of months, right?
And it seems maybe it's just ironic, maybe it's a sign of things to come. He had no problem deferring to Paul George, but he wouldn't defer to KD, but that's neither here nor there. Skip, we go back and we'll talk about that another day. Skip, I agree with everything you just said. Russ was terrible. 6 of 20 from the floor with 5 turnovers. In the second half, he was 2 of 10 and 4 of those turnovers. You see, the thing is, Skip, the thing that makes Russell great and makes him fallible, because he has the mentality like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. We've all heard both of those players say, I can miss 35 shots. I'm going to shoot the 36 with the anticipation that ball's going in.
Yep.
And that's how Russ thinks. Russ has missed all those shots, but he believes the next ball he puts up is going into the basket. So he can shoot you in a game, but he's more likely to shoot you out of the ball game.
He is.
And that's what happened yesterday. And we saw that, Skip, remember in the playoffs where he was at start of the fourth quarter, he was like 17 or 22. And the next thing you know, he's 17 or 43. That's what happens, and that's what he's capable of. Skip, I don't know what happens.
He's just not a pure shooter.
Right.
I never even like his stroke. It never looks quite right to me.
Right.
But it mostly has gone in big moments. And, again, the reason Kevin Durant left is because management decided Russell is the closer. You're the alpha. We need the ball in your hand.
And he's never been efficient, Skip. Yep. He's never going to be a Kevin Durant. He's never going to be LeBron James or even a Steph Curry. He's never going to shoot 48, 40, you know, and for a guard to shoot 48, 47%. He's going to be somewhere south of 45%. But, Skip, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, he's 25% from the three-point line. He's shooting 62% from the free throw line, considering in his first 10 years, Skip, he was an 82% free throw shooter. Now, he looks healthy to me. He looks like a guy. I've seen him take the ball off the rim on one end and get down to the other end in 4 seconds and be laying it up. So he doesn't look injured to me. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's deferring too much, but they look good when Paul George is leading the team in scoring.
They do. And Paul George did a nice job yesterday on James Harden. I know it's hard. You can't say, it's hard to say. Well, you did a nice job and he scored 41.
But he took 35 shots.
Those were hard 41 points.
I'll give you that, Skip. Anytime you're going to score 40, if you're going to, whatever you score, if it's going to take you six fewer shots to get that number, I will feel I did a pretty good job. If you get 30 points and you took 24 shots, I feel good.
I mean,
James Harden is another guy, Skip. He's not going to be efficient. That's not what efficiency and James Harden doesn't go together, just like efficiency and Russell Westbrook doesn't go together. But something.
Does this go together? Clint Capella had 23 rebounds yesterday. Steven Adams had 7. Does that go together?
And he's a double-double guy. He's 16 and 10. Steven Adams got to do a better job at keeping Clint Capella off the glass. Skip, he had 10 offensive. Clint Capella had 10 offensive rebounds. 10!
I don't know.
Not as a team. One guy had 10.
Maybe they wanted to get home to their kids. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yep. But I still like Oklahoma City better long-term than I like Houston long-term. Just like them.
Oh, wait, no expectations going on. Oh, Paul George going to do all this. We've seen him. He do this ahead of the regular season. Playoff time. Like he called himself last year. Skip him old playoff P. Old playoff Paul. And Russ, you come out and say, oh, that what they call it? I ain't never heard that before.
But Carmelo was dragging him down.
Don't do this, Kim. Don't do that. Don't do that.
He was their Dez Bryant.
Okay, so what's going to – who's dragging Russ down now?
Stay with a little
Russ.
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
no mercy.
His Patriots are 10-5 and still have a shot at home field throughout the playoffs. But there are questions about his future. Tom Brady is 41 years old. He has a rumored knee injury, and his stats have been un-Brady-like this season. In addition to that, some NFL insiders predicted on ESPN.com that the Patriots will take a quarterback in the first 2 rounds of next year's draft. This week, Brady was asked if he'll definitely play next year, and let's take a listen to what he had to say.
I absolutely believe I will. I know I've talked about it for a long time. You know, I have goals to play not only next year, but beyond that. And I'm going to try to do it as best I possibly can. I'm going to give it everything I have, like I always have. It'll certainly be a challenge. I don't take any of these things for granted, but I hope I can keep playing. I hope I can keep playing at a championship level. I'm feeling really good, Jim. It's been 15 weeks of football. And there's always bumps and bruises you deal with. But I'm feeling great for this time of year. I'll take it every year to be feeling as good as I am at this time in the season.
Shannon, how much longer will Brady play?
I believe he plays one more year in New England. Now, I believe if he's going to play longer than that.
Oh, one or so two little caveat.
No.
Aha.
No. One or two things need to happen if he wants to extend it beyond that. And that is Coach Belichick leaves. Because I believe over the last 2 years, these guys have been fighting who deserves, who gets the most of the credit. And I think each guy is trying to wait the other guy out, Skip Bayless.
That is true.
Because we had the same dilemma with Joe Montana and Coach Walsh.
Yep.
Coach Walsh retires. Joe wins another one without him. Well, okay, now he gets all the credit. Even though Bill Walsh's system, Coach Walsh was very innovative, the short passing game, the West Coast offense, and we see a lot of hybrids offenses off of that. But once Joe won that Super Bowl without him, he got the lion's share of the credit. The other guy knows whomever were to win a title without the other will get the lion's share of the credit. Skip, the thing is that when we look at Tom Brady, he's been great for such a long time. And then we hold him to that standard. And that's what happens as you start to age. You no longer play at the standard in which you set for yourself. You look at his last 8 games. He's 22nd in completion percentage. He's tied for 21st in touchdowns with 9. We see him starting to flinch. We see him starting to duck away from that contact, throwing the ball in the pocket. Because the platform in which he throws from, Skip, he can shuffle, a little slide to the left, a little slide to the right by himself in time. But what we're starting to see, he's not willing to stand in the 405, Skip, doing rush hour and play chicken. He no longer wants to do that.
I would stand in the 405 in rush hour because it's not moving. You can just stand still, right? I mean, nobody's even bothering you. Yeah. You could just sort of waltz between
the cars. Get an HOV lane. That's what you should do. But anyway, Skip, look, Coach, what Tom Brady now, this is unusual for a Patriot player because here's the thing. They don't normally talk about the opponent after the opponent that they're playing. We're on to Cincinnati. They didn't talk about who they're playing after Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati. Not only is Tom Brady bypassing the playoffs, maybe he mentioned something early on about the playoffs, but he's talking about years down the road. Since when do New England Patriots players do that, Skip? Is that normal for them? Now, he's already said this. a year ago, 2 years ago. Normally, I'll refer you back to the comments I've already made on this subject, Jim. Mm-hmm. I like to talk about what's going to transpire in the playoffs or this last game, which I'm getting ready for.
Yep.
But what Tom Brady is trying to do, he's trying to elicit a fan support. Because he knows it's going to come down to this, Skip Bayless. Coach Belichick is going to have to make a very difficult decision. And all great coaches, when you coach an all-time great player, you see what happened with Bruce Smith in Buffalo, Emmitt Smith in Dallas. They wanted to extend their careers. They had to extend them elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You look at what happened with Joe Montana. He wanted to play more. He had to extend his career in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I believe that same thing is going to befall Tom Brady if he wants to extend his career beyond 20. Mm-hmm. I do not believe he plays 21st year in New England, which will be very interesting because I believe Coach Belichick is trying to wait him out and to win a championship without Tom Brady. Mm. I believe Tom Brady is trying to wait Coach Belichick out to win a championship. Coach Belichick had his ducks in a row, Skip. He had a plan B. Literally. But somebody went upstairs to the unofficial dad. He tried to get rid of me, Dad. Can you do something about this? And Mr. Kraft put his foot down.
And then what did that whiny baby do after he went upstairs? He won the MVP and made Belichick look like a fool.
No, he didn't.
Like a fool.
How did he make him look like a fool?
He won the MVP.
So what?
He threw for 505 in the Super Bowl.
Are we here to say that Jimmy Garoppolo could not have had the same success?
I'm here to say that.
How do you know?
Well, I don't, but I'm just saying that's hard, man.
Okay. Oh, no, no.
To win the MVP and break the all-time playoff record for yards thrown in any game, and it happened to be in the Super Bowl? That's hard,
but
man.
But what did he get? Where did he cover it?
Thanks to Bill Belichick. Belichick blunder.
When things go good, it's all Tom Brady. The moment it goes bad, he doesn't have any help. Coach Belichick's defense let him down.
Have you been watching Malcolm Butler lately for Tennessee? He's playing at a high. He looks like a Pro Bowler.
I watched him early in the year when he got benched.
He struggled.
Yeah, okay.
Team, but then now he looks like he's the old guy who didn't get to play a snap.
We're not having a revisionist history.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Okay, oh, snap.
Yeah, right. You finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
Thank you. Good. My turn. Okay. So these comments were stunning to me because these were the best, the most emotional and enlightening comments on this subject that I have seen from Tom Brady so far. And I don't believe they were intended for fan support. I think they were earmarked for, number one, Bill Belichick.
Of course.
I just want to remind him. And number two, for all the critics led by the president of the Tom Brady Haters Club, Shannon Sharpe, the Hall of Famer, he wanted Shannon to hear exactly what propels him forward and what his plan is. And again, this has been a long-running battle between me and you since our first year here on Undisputed back in 2016. Yep. And you predicted the first year that this year would be the last year for Tom Brady.
Yep.
So he did prove you wrong on that account, and he is preparing to prove you wrong again and again and again, according to him yesterday.
I didn't know he was going to go upstairs and cry to Mr. Kraft about getting rid of Jimmy G.
Well, I think he's got the cachet. I think he's earned the right to do that. Wouldn't you, after five?
You don't think Coach Belichick has earned the right to get rid of players as he sees fit?
Well, we disagree on that because I believe this is 75% Tom Brady and 25% Belichick. That's what's happened in this New England dynasty. But the point about yesterday that was very interesting that you should note about Tom Brady was he's not waiting until it's over this year to do the typical veteran I need to take some time off. I need to take a month with my wife and kids and see how we all feel about me playing next year. He's not doing that.
He can't.
Why not?
Coach Belichick will get that thing up on my phone. He can't pull a Brett Favre where you waffle here and there because he know Coach Belichick.
Well, this is the opposite of waffling because he's just laying it right on the line with a game to go in the regular season before the playoffs start. He is flat out laying it on the line. I absolutely believe I will play next year. And then he doesn't stop there. I have goals to not only play next year, but beyond that. So he's standing right by what he said. He's going to play until he's 45. He's going to make you eat more crow and more crow and more crow. I don't know that. I've said it from the start. I don't bet against this guy.
In the article, what did Coach Belichick say?
Nothing.
Hey, Coach Belichick says, I ain't worried about next year or the year after that. Let's talk about the Jets. That's what he said.
Yeah, well, I don't really care about Coach Belichick.
Whoa!
So here's the point that these quotes were so enlightening. This is what I think sticks in your craw about Tom Brady. he's trying to explain to you what motivates him into toward his 20th year in pro football. He says that I've been so lucky to play the game I love for 19 years. Mm-hmm. I wake up every day excited to go to work. What happens to most players at 35-ish, which was the end of the line for you? Mm-hmm. You lose your love for it because it's just too hard. It hurts. Yeah. It hurts you physically, obviously, and mentally. It just wears on you, the grind of it. It's such a hard league. It's such a dog-eat-dog league. It is so highly competitive that every year we have all, you know, half the playoff teams are all new because it's such a fine line of parity in this league. It's hard to keep your heads above water.
It is.
Right? Yep. So everybody's working hard to figure out how to beat the New England Patriots. Yet he's saying, I'm on fire to continue to play. He's saying, this has brought so much joy to my life. It tests you in so many ways. I've been dealing with the frustration for so long. The emotions run the gamut. But if you can stay and build your mental toughness, it's just incredibly rewarding. That's what's driving him because there's never been a mentally tougher player than this guy. Again, it's in a different package. I know he can be nerdy. He can be corny. He can be. Well, okay, he is. Okay. I'll give you is. Mm-hmm. He's not your typical face of the franchise, franchise quarterback in the National Football League. There's not a lot of macho to him. There's not a lot of swagger to him. He doesn't fit your mold. But he's just telling you, this is what I love. And he said, I don't think there's any greater gift in my life than what I have in football. Well, how would you feel if you're Giselle and his kids? How would you feel?
Tommy, you know, she calls him Tommy, Skip. Yeah. Tommy, I'd like to have a word with you.
Okay.
But if you don't mind me asking, Skip,
don't leave that point alone. Yeah, I'm not going to let you leave that point
Skip,
alone because
I think she's going to have a problem.
Okay.
With that.
Okay. But he is laying it on the table, and I'm going to say this again. Ernestine hates for me to say this, but again, not that my life compares to Tom Brady's. What's that?
I hate him too, Ernestine, because I've asked him to stop saying it.
Our first date in New York City, it was 13 years ago. The first thing I told her, because I've been through this before, unfortunately, and I failed before at this, I just laid it right on the table. If this goes anywhere beyond this night, just remember, you'll always be 1A to my career because I just live for this. This is my whole life. But it's a good 1A because I don't go out with the guys on Wednesday night poker games or anything.
You ain't got no friends.
I don't go out. I just do this and I do
Ernestine
her.
And Hazel.
That's it. That's it. And they get every waking second that I don't devote to this, which is not a whole lot.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. But that's what he is on a much higher level than I'm on. He's just saying, I live for this and it's a little bit beyond my wife and kids.
The difference between you and Tom Brady, you made no concessions. Ernestine, at year 10, at year 15, this is what I'm willing to do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull back. I'm coming home to be with you full time. That's not what Tom Brady did. Giselle said, Tom Brady said he's going to play 10 years or 15 years, mm-hmm. and he's coming home to be with her and the kids. That's what he said. That's what she said. Now, if he didn't say it, somebody's lying.
Mm. Oh, you mean this is back?
Back.
Okay, I'll give you that. He amended that.
Yes.
Because he stayed healthy, and I got a knock on wood for him. Obviously, this is all given his health.
Right.
Could he suffer a career-threatening injury against the Jets? Or
No.
Sure he could.
No,
really
I don't
could.
Think there's an addendum. I think he told her he was going to play 10 years. That's what she said. Now, Skip, I'm just going by what Giselle
right.
said.
You could be right.
Giselle said Tommy said he's going to play X number of years, and then he's coming home to do the dad and husband thing.
Okay. So what has happened this year to Tom Brady? I believe this has been his toughest year of his pro football life. Why is that?
Because he's
definitely 41 years of age. But what has happened this year? Bill Belichick has strapped him, has handicapped Tom Brady with simply the worst defense Bill Belichick has ever put on the field in his 19 years as the Patriot coach. I don't think you can argue that. I can just show you the numbers, the stats, the one Pro Bowler. Stephon Gilmore, that's it. You got one Pro Bowler on defense. The talent has eroded dangerously, especially on defense. It's not what it used to be. Okay. You can't say, well, they got. No, they don't. They don't have it. Five times they gave up 30-plus points this year. So Tom Brady had to try to overcome it five times, and some of those times he failed. Right now, I believe if we had experts, talent evaluators from the National Football League, evaluate all the receiving cores as we approach the playoffs, mm-hmm. that Tom Brady's would be the worst in the league. I think it's inarguable because they had Josh Gordon for a little while. Now he has not one receiver that you can trust to consistently separate. Am I right about that?
I give you
Rob Gronkowski has become a liability. He's just a liability, and he's nearing retirement. This is going to be the end of the line for him, whether he likes it or not. His body just failed him, right? It just broke down. Okay? So Tom Brady has had to overcome that, and yet despite all you say about his flinching or whatever you want to say, his stats have declined. I remind you one more time, Tom Brady put this team in position to be the number one seed in the AFC. That's pretty great. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say. If you're a quarterback and your team was in perfect position to be the one seed in the AFC, that's pretty great. And they were, and again, I'm putting it on Bill Belichick, and I think you did too, Miami miracle. It cost them the one seed. And I believe Bill Belichick is getting a pass for the Miami miracle. Nobody seems to blame him, but he put Gronkowski on the field in place of McCourty. Right?
He was right. I mean, Skip, he's human. He makes a mistake.
All right. Well, that's a huge mistake because that could mean the difference. That one play could mean the difference between them having to play at Kansas City or wherever
it
is.
You don't mind me asking, so was it a mistake that Tom Brady took a sack right before the half? Was that a mistake?
Okay, in Miami?
Yes.
All I know is at the end of the line, at the end of the game, he drove them down to what looked like the clinching field goal. It should have been a touchdown, but Belichick said, no, let's just run it and run the clock and take the field goal.
I'll just ask you
a
question.
Were they in position to win the football game? Well, the quarterback did, and it was his best statistical game of the year. He threw for 358 and three touchdowns. And you say, well, they went six drives in the second half or whatever without scoring. Did he turn the football over? He did not.
No.
He did not.
But
he did everything in his power at a place where he had lost five of his last seven games. His house of horrors, he played his best game of the year. What's to argue with that? You can nitpick it apart. Did he screw up the end of the half?
I want you to say what Coach Belichick. You said Coach Belichick made a mistake and he should get criticized. I need to hear you say Tom Brady made a mistake at the end of the half and criticize
him. I'll give you that. But in the end, the mistake was made by the head coach because that's why they couldn't eat at your restaurant that night. Tom Brady did everything in his power to make that a big W. It was over. It's over and out, right?
But here's the thing.
One play?
We look at Tom Brady. See, when you were all-time great quarterbacks, which Tom Brady is, you look at his body of work, you look at his resume, and you compare it to that. So if you look at that, if you just take it at that, like we do all players, that's the way we can determine, whether or not, because sometimes it's not always visible to the naked eye unless you break down game after game after game after game. Skip, so you telling me over the last eight games, he's 22nd in completion percentage, 12 for 21st in touchdown, and you see no slippage in his play?
I do not. I don't. And I watch every play of every game very closely.
So he's just, so in other words, he's just Mitchell Trubisky. Who has more touchdowns?
Stop.
He's Eli Manning. I'm just asking.
Is he not a winner? You got to look at the bottom line. He put them in position, and they are an under-talented football team. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes on the biggest stage. He outplayed Aaron Rodgers on the biggest
stage. With those same guys that you say is not any good.
With this same record. The same record.
Guys.
It should be the record that gives them the one seed.
If you don't mind me
He won the game against Kansas City that should have made them
the one seed. He won it.
Well, he threw for 182 in the fourth quarter, and that called winning the game?
Okay.
That's pretty great,
man. If you don't mind me asking. Okay.
That's at age 41.
How did he do at Tennessee?
Well, they were terrible. They lost some games. They were terrible on the
road. No. You see what you did?
Now, Jacksonville was terrible.
Hold on. Time out, Skip. Hold on. I just want everybody here.
Okay, they lost games, but how about all the wins?
No, hold on, Skip.
Well, do you want me to start to pick apart Patrick Mahomes?
Skip, just let me have my
four big national TV games in which he just.
All I want you to do is let me have my say right here.
All right.
You notice, when they win, you say Tom Brady outgunned Pat Mahomes.
He did.
But when they lose, you say they lost some games.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it they when they lose, but is he when they win?
Okay, he wasn't very good, but the defense was worse. Was it not terrible?
At
Tennessee and Jacksonville?
That's the same defense that picked off Pat Mahomes twice in the first
half. Quarterback
that same defense.
The quarterback you have the least respect for, Blake Bortles, who lost his job for much of the year, threw for 373 against Bill Belichick.
Yes.
That's unforgivable. Here's what's going to happen in the offseason. If, in fact, Jonathan Kraft takes over for his father and there's a new voice at the top and he is given authority from the father, if the father says, I'm going to back off and you run it and you make the big calls and the big decisions, it could be a whole new day for Bill Belichick.
It might be a whole new day for Tom Brady, too.
It could be, but it could be shocking. Heads could roll. Let's say they lose their first home, the first game at home, the playoff game.
Sure.
Who could be, let's say Baltimore goes in there and does it again as they've done before a couple several times. Mm-hmm. Well, could heads roll? Could there be shocking changes made? Could Josh McDaniels be elevated to head coach because he's the younger, you know, he has a deeper connection with younger Jonathan Kraft? It's possible.
Right.
It's possible. Or to your point, could Tom Brady be shown the door? He could be. Do they want to start over? I don't see the exit strategy. I don't see the successor in place.
The problem that I have with people, and I don't minimize because having played this game, you understand what Tom Brady and the quarterback, what his job is to do. But people minimize Coach Belichick that he held the greatest show on turf to 17 points. Mm-hmm. People minimize that. People minimize that he inserted Malcolm
Butler. I don't. It was great.
But no.
Wait,
no,
you going don't. Back to the first Super Bowl?
The first Super Bowl. And what about the one that he won in Arizona against Seattle? So do you believe Tom Brady wins
that? He won?
Oh, he won.
That he won?
So Malcolm Butler. So what was that? Who was on the field at the end of the game?
Okay. Wait, are you saying Belichick or Malcolm Butler?
I know. No, hold on. Malcolm Butler plays defense.
Yeah.
You tell Coach Belichick's in charge of the defense.
Okay.
Okay. Who made the play? Who was on the field at the end of the game that determined the outcome of the game?
Malcolm Butler did. I give you that.
No.
Well, wait.
No, I would
wait, wait. Who threw for 124 yards and two touchdowns in the fourth quarter against the Legion of Boom?
It was about to get nullified. It was about to get nullified.
Well, maybe.
No, maybe.
I don't know.
Okay, here's the thing. He threw for 505, but got no support from his defense. What happened?
Well, they gave up 41 points.
That's my point, Skip.
To the quarterback you have no respect for, the backup of the Philadelphia Eagles,
Skip.
Nick Foles.
Hold on, Skip. You take that I've said that I do not believe Nick Foles is an all-time great. He had an all-time great run.
Okay, well, let's say you think he's the second best Philadelphia Eagles quarterback.
I do.
And the second best put up 41 on Bill Belichick.
Yes.
In a Super Bowl game.
Yes.
Boy, that's wrong. That's a bad sign.
Skip, it happens sometimes.
Okay, well, I just told you it happened a lot to Bill Belichick's defense this year because it was the worst unit he's put on the field.
How many times did they give up 30 points? Five?
Five times.
Ask Pat Mahomes, would he take 5 30-point games from his defense? Okay. At home, ask my homeboy. Gave up 54, gave up 43, gave up 38. Ask my homeboy about that.
I would love to put Tom Brady on the lie detector and say, Tom, what did you think of the Miami Miracle? And let him go off because, you know, he can talk a little blue streak too on occasion.
Yeah, I like that.
And you like to hear what he'd say about his head coach?
I'd same truth serum to Coach Belichick.
Yeah.
Coach Belichick, what do you think of your quarterback in Miami right before the half? What do you think about your quarterback doing fainting goat in Pittsburgh or in Buffalo?
Yeah.
Huh?
They should have been the one seed.
Yeah, it should have been.
Yep.
And they should have been missed the playoffs.
I'm not going to bet against Tom Brady.
No.
Hard to.
They're actually still the two seed. It's terrible. He's washed up. He should retire. He should step away for the sake of his wife and children right now.
No, they're
the two seed. They're the two seed.
No, that's something. I don't tell anybody what they should do.
Okay.
That's between he and his wife.
Yep.
Okay. She's changed her tune a bit, though. Recent interviews, she's like, I'm going to stay out of this for now.
Uh-oh.
She knows, I think, when he says, I absolutely want to play, say for Giselle to just...
No. What got him in trouble is that I love football more than anything.
That's true.
That's what got him. That must go when he come home.
You don't think she knows that?
No.
I think she knows that.
I might know a lot of things. See, the truth hurts more in the end than it does the beginning. Grandmother told me that. I didn't know what she was saying, Skip. Because, see, if somebody tells you something early, you're like, okay, I understand that.
But
when they tell you late, when they get that truth, sir, so now here it is later.
Yeah. The truth meant more at the end. The truth meant more at the end of the Miami game than during the
halftime. No, you know what, Skip Bayless.
Yeah, that's when it hurts the most.
Okay.
No mercy.
LeBron is day-to-day after an MRI showed he strained his groin in the third quarter of the Lakers' win against the Warriors on Christmas. He has already been ruled out for tonight's game in Sacramento. That will end LeBron's streak of 116 straight regular season games. And yesterday, he tweeted, dodged a bullet. Sheesh, praise to the Almighty above. Back in no time. So, Shannon, how long do you expect LeBron out?
I'm going to say conservative, Skip. I'm going to say 2 weeks.
Really?
Having dealt with this issue, Skip. I think the biggest thing is that you don't want it to be an ongoing or a lingering issue. So you make sure this thing is 100% healed. This is not something that, you know, you play through a little pain and it's going to be okay. No, you don't want this thing nagging. You don't want him to come back and then he's out another two games. You don't want him to come back and then he's out another week. So err on the side of caution. hopefully they can go 500 above 500 and keep this thing afloat while he's absent. I feel a lot better having Rondo running the point guard because he sees things almost as LeBron does, and he's a nice.
You know, there was late breaking news this morning. I think that Rondo's out now.
What?
Did you hear this?
No.
I just heard it right before we came on the air. But he's got a sprained right ring finger.
I hadn't seen that.
Man, this is some bulljack.
I know. I don't know. That's. So he broke, Rondo broke his right hand, and then he comes back and
plays unbelievable.
Yeah, he played unbelievable. He won the game. Yes. I think he was the biggest reason they closed the deal.
He definitely should have got the game ball.
Okay. And then something I didn't know because I never saw him exit during the game.
I didn't either.
Did he keep playing with it? But he sprained the right ring finger and he's out. So it looks like they could start a lineup tonight of, and this is a, I don't know if it's a first, but it's really rare. Of all draft picks, because most teams just don't have lineups of draft picks, because if obviously that's Lonzo, Brandon Ingram,
Kuz.
And Kuz, and Josh Hart, and then your big man,
Big
Zubats.
Big
Zubats.
And JaVale did make the flight this morning, but I don't know if he's going to play or not, because it sounded like he got seriously ill for a while.
Yeah, he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Skip, the thing is, if you look at Steph Curry had a very similar injury. He had a groin injury. We don't know how similar it was or not, but it was a groin injury. He missed 3 weeks. But LeBron, now his history, he doesn't get injured very much. I mean, the only thing I can think he's missed with that back when he first went back to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So he hadn't had a sprain, missed with a sprained ankle, or he hadn't missed with anything with a knee, knock on wood.
Yep.
But LeBron is a different type of athlete than Steph Curry. LeBron plays downhill. Mm-hmm. LeBron plays through contact. So that's a different animal than what Steph Curry was dealing with. Now, Steph is constant motion. So he needed to let that thing heal completely. But I also believe LeBron. And the thing is with LeBron is that I don't want him to do the slightest bump in the road.
Yep.
They lose a game, mm-hmm. lose two games.
Yep.
He gets antsy and wants to come back to stop the bleeding. Because, Skip, remember when he went to away in Cleveland in his first, they went 1-7 in 8 games.
They did.
And they were 4-23 over the 4 years in which he was there, in which he didn't play. So the what happens with an athlete is, I can stop this. I can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back a little bit sooner than what you should.
Mm-hmm.
I hope for LeBron's sake, he errs on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers, I hope they steadfast mm-hmm. and say, nah, LeBron, we're going to stick to this. Because they had 20 games. Skip, last year they didn't win 20 games till February. 20 games February.
Crazy.
And then a couple of years ago, they didn't win 20 games at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of years later, they won it 20 games in March.
Yep.
So they're ahead of the curve. And I get it, Skip. I get it. It seems to me the West is wide open this year.
It's wide open.
Golden State struggling.
Yep.
Houston is not what we thought they would be. Mm-hmm. OKC is doing well, but they're kind of up and down. The Nuggets.
Well, Russell just can't shoot, man.
Right. Nuggets look good for two or three games, and then they get blown up by Memphis or a team.
Well, last night they lost to my guys, to San Antonio.
Right.
And it was close, but they lost.
So for me, I believe it'll be at least 2 weeks. At the bare minimum, 2 weeks. Let this thing get 110% heal. Not 100, because, Skip, you don't want him to come back and risk this thing.
So, I still can't get it in my head what happened to LeBron the other night. This is more LeBron, like drama kingness here, because he says, after the game, I heard something pop. Well, that's just no good.
Right.
If you hear something pop, that means you tore something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe with scar tissue that would build up, and he tore some scar tissue.
It's possible, knowing Iron Man LeBron.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Because it's hard for you to believe, Skip, over 16 years, he hadn't had some injuries that he's played through that calcified or.
Okay, you're probably right. But the point is that I was shocked by the sort of mid-afternoon tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he dodged a bullet? He did? He dodged a bullet and hashtag back in no time.
Right.
Well, then I thought at that moment, does that mean he's going to play at Sacramento? Because I thought it did. Mm-hmm. I thought that he's onward and upward.
Mm-mm.
And then here comes another report, I believe it's the LA Times at it first. No, he's not going to play at Sacramento.
Day to day.
Okay, day to day.
Aren't we all?
Well, I know, yes. But except for LeBron in the NBA, he's not day-to-day. He's played, I just looked this up, he's played a grand total, if you count the playoffs too, of 55,527 minutes. It's just staggering to me how many minutes that is without, I'm knocking on wood for him, without any significant injury, right? Not one. No shoulder, no knee, no Achilles, no nothing.
Ankle.
No, ankle. That's right. Ankle.
NBA
that's a good
player
one.
Rolls an ankle.
Yeah. They break ankles.
Yeah.
They something goes wrong. It's just, it is a contact sport. Whether you believe it or not, it's high speed and some contact, and obviously nobody's wearing any pads,
no,
right?
No.
And for LeBron James, it's really a contact sport because he's got Shaq syndrome going on where every time he drives, I think they could call a foul every time, and about 75% of the time they do not call the fouls. And he gets hacked and hammered.
Well, if they call fouls on for him like they call James Harden, he'd probably be shooting 25 free throws tonight.
And that would be a horror story.
No, it went out of the game. He'd probably be 90%. Because he get more practice. Yeah, they get more practice.
Maybe the refs just give him a break. Like, we don't want to send him to the free throw line.
Stop!
Like, that's more punishment than...
You know what's
good. That's funny, isn't it? Yeah, Jenny. I like that. Jenny's laughing at that
Jenny.
One. That was funny.
Believe you, Jenny.
That was funny. So, I'm going to go with... His history, would tell me he's going to miss one game tonight. And I agree. I agree with your premise. Don't mess with it. Don't let it be. Let it lay. Let it heal or whatever was wrong. I don't know what was wrong with it. I don't know. Was it crampy sort of, you know, like can your groin cramp? I've never heard of that one.
Well, here's the thing, Skip. I hurt my groin when you're playing football, but I didn't play. I can be honest.
Okay.
I hurt my groin on the diving board.
Uh-huh.
After practice, you know, we go in there and swim. And so, you know.
Where?
University of Northern Colorado.
At camp?
Spring board. You know your boy with Lou Gaynor's, Black Lou Gaynor's. I'm up there hit a 1.5. I'm up there partying.
You were doing, like, off the...
Yeah, 10 meters.
Wait, is that the high dive?
Yeah! Oh. Not the platform, the springboard, the 10 meter.
Wow, okay. Need video of this.
Oh!
Yeah.
I hit that thing.
Oh.
Jackknife. Really? I hit a 1.5. And then the last time, Skip, I was trying not to do it because a dude hit a 2. And I was going to try to do it, but I got...
Is this a story for real?
I don't know.
It is. I heard it.
It sounds good.
But I told him, but that's not...
I'm not sure how you pull your groin in a dive.
No,
whatever.
But Skip, I mean,
trying to do the splits?
No, Skip, I was up that, Skip. I was almost touching the ceiling up that thing.
Really?
I hit that thing. Skip, can you imagine?
And what did you tell the coaching staff?
I heard it running around.
Running around?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay, and you missed what?
I missed like 3 or 4 days of practice.
Did you?
Yep.
Okay, and then it was totally okay after that.
It was
that. Okay. Okay, well, 3 or 4 days.
But so I didn't hear a pop, though. I didn't hear a pop.
I still don't get the pop, but then... # dodged a bullet.
Yep.
Thank you, God, he says. I don't know.
Almighty.
Yeah.
Praying hands. You see them praying hands, Skip?
I didn't know LeBron prayed, but
you didn't know the man prayed?
I don't know. He never talks about it. So that came out of nowhere.
That's what I like. That's what I like.
Okay.
It's the one that be talking about it all the time that I worry about.
That is true. I'll give you that one. Okay. So now back to your point about the West. This is the weirdest West ever.
It is.
There's never been anything like it because we now have 14 teams within 8 games of the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's like the Lakers are only, what are they now, like
two and a half out,
and then they're
2.5 out of 10.
I think they're only 2 out of the playoffs.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So while it's great news for LeBron because the West is, I'm not going to say it's wide open, but it's more open than it's been because Golden State just looks like a troubled basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And look, on paper, is Golden State easily the best team? Sure. Is DeMarcus going to be the X factor that puts them back into dominance, into, you know, like prohibitive favorite?
Right.
Maybe, but I don't know if he's going to fit with them. That's a huge if right there, right?
That's a huge factor.
And to me... And we'll talk about this in a little bit, but the Draymond thing is just going to hang over them the whole year. We're about to talk about Kevin Durant,
yep.
but the point is that all I look at the teams that aren't even in the playoffs right now, like the Kings aren't in the playoffs, and they've had a very good year so far.
Yeah.
And they're talented. They have some young talent on. They have some mid-range mm-hmm. talent. But
Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox are looking good. Colin Stein is starting to play like a lottery pick.
So we just saw Memphis the other night win at the Lakers, and they're out of the playoffs. And Utah, every other night, I see them look like, wow, that looks like last year's Utah. And then they stink it up the next night. Sometimes because Donovan Mitchell's been way up and way down this year. And then the Mavericks. Doncic is turning into a star.
Yeah.
Well, so they're out of the playoffs. Is he just going to keep getting better and better? Are they going to take off around Doncic? They could. I don't know. And then the Timberwolves. I don't know what to make of them.
I never know.
I don't know.
But because I mean, some nights, Carl Anthony Towns, Skip, he gets you 25 and 20.
Okay.
And then the next night, he gets you 5 and 12.
We're going to talk about Derrick Rose later, sure. But he's had a phenomenal year.
He can't make the All-Star because of the position he played. But he's been unbelievable.
Well, he can't make the All-Star team because their record isn't good enough at this point. But again, do they have firepower?
Yes.
Could they take off at some point? Absolutely. And that brings me to the 12th place team. The New Orleans Pelicans, featuring the number one player in PER in the league.
They
lost again last night. But he had a
monster night.
Okay, but again, when Mirotić gets healthy, could they take off and make a run at the eighth spot? You better believe they could, right?
Yeah.
Did they not win a playoff series last year?
These young guns need to hold steady, hold the ship steady until LeBron comes back.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to become a little bit more difficult with Rondo being out. But, Skip, if you notice, he always – LeBron doesn't wear his religion on his sleeve, but he always thanks the God Almighty for giving him the ability that he's able to play on.
I never catch that, but whatever. Yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't.
Well, see, that's what I like. I like a guy that holds their religion because I've seen guys, Jenny, have the Bible in one hand and three girls' hand in the other. So I don't want that, Skip. I want that LeBron keep that thing. Hey, I serve what I serve. I think don't skip me. I don't do a whole lot of religion, but every time I eat, I say grace.
His recent public language hasn't been exactly biblical language, but I'm just throwing that out. I don't know.
Sheesh.
Yep. Yeah, sheesh.
Oh, that's true. That's a good Bible word. Sheesh.
Well,
I remember I said
the A word one time, and my grandma said, "What you say?" I said, "A is in the Bible." Mm. My grandma said, "He ain't mean it like what you talking about."
Mm. Well, did you put something else on?
I just said the A word. Okay. My grandma looked at me.
She's not gonna let that go.
Yeah, you like. I was like, "Great, it's in the Bible." She said, "Yeah, but he didn't mean it like what you said it." No. I'm like, "Okay, I'm sorry."
No, I don't know. So LeBron better get back sooner than later, or they're gonna find themselves out of
saying. Hold on, Jenny. Hold on. Wait a second.
Yeah.
You just tweeted the other night. Who needs LeBron?
Well, that was a joke.
You talking about the Lakers?
Well, obviously they got. What was the lead? It got up to 31 without LeBron.
But when he left, it was 17.
How do you know what I tweet?
Don't worry about what
Jenny,
I know.
Jenny, how does he know?
I know everything.
He's creeping on my tweets.
I got to pay attention to both of you guys.
I'm omnipotent.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Got a lot of people.
What does that mean, Skip Bayless?
Rich, you're everywhere.
Ah.
Yeah. You're all powerful.
All knowing.
Yeah.
All knowing.
I don't want to say the G word, but you know what. Yeah, I ain't going to say that. I don't do that, Skip.
Really?
But just so you know.
I didn't think God would lose 17 cases of Diet Mountain Dew, right? I don't know.
Probably not.
Just me.
Thought it was human.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.